As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
Good morning, Washington, D.C. What up, what up, what up, everybody? It is time to get up and start your Saturday morning off right. I'm Adam Epstein, and you are listening to AWOD Radio, live and local, here on D.C. Sports Radio 106.7. The Fan, we are simulcast on the Team 980. And always available on the go with the free Odyssey app in Richmond. You can hear us on 910 AM. 105.1 FM. Good morning, Washington, D.C. We got a lot to get to on the show today here from 9 to noon, talking all things D.C. sports and the National Football League, because next week at this time, we will be discussing the Commanders' first round and second round pick and what they will do in the later rounds. As I've stated all offseason, I believe this is the most important offseason in franchise history. They have to build around Jaden Daniels. They have to do the most. They have to be aggressive. They have to make the most of this opportunity because, number one, Jaden's on a rookie contract. The fan base is all the way bought in. There's veterans on the roster or playing maybe their last season with Washington. A hot young offensive coordinator in Cliff Kingsbury that he might be a head coach at this time next season. In fact, I'd probably bet money that Cliff Kingsbury is a head coach at this time next season. That's why, for me, it's win now mode for the Commanders. And I wanted to get into this ESPN article on the show today in which Benjamin Solak of ESPN says, quote, Washington should draft players you can envision starting and mattering in January football. And that's kind of what I'm talking about when I say it's a win now mode for the Washington Commanders. That's why I like the aggressive moves this offseason already. The two trades. It's not like we made that many big splashes in free agency, but the big trades, Deebo Samuel and Laremy Tunsil. And we know Washington needs an edge rusher, and you could probably do that in the first round or maybe in the second round because it's supposed to be such a deep edge rushing class that you could get somebody that is of value at 61 overall. But what would be the other position groups that you think are important for the Commanders? Which position groups are most needed for the Commanders to draft in the upcoming draft? I'll reveal my list later on the show today. Phone lines are always open. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. You could tweet us at AWOD Radio or at 1067 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. But I like to start the show with what's on the top of my mind in the sports world. That last night was the end of the NBA's play-in tournament. Did anybody watch the play-in tournament? Is anybody enjoying the play-in tournament? Are we all in agreement here that the play-in tournament is a complete and utter waste of time? It's a waste of our time. It's the waste of the players' time. It's the waste of the referees' time. It's the waste of the NBA's time. What are we doing here? This league has dropped its value, it feels like. Their ratings are down. And I had no interest in watching the play-in tournament. I had no interest the last 3 years in watching the play-in tournament. They feels like they need to rename it the Steph Curry play-in tournament? Because he's playing in it almost every single year. And now his team advanced, and they'll be the seventh seed against the Houston Rockets. And you could make the case for why the first leg of the play-in game is good, the 7 versus the 8. I had no interest in 9 versus 10. And then the winner of that game against the loser of 7 versus 8 to get that last spot, especially in a season in which in the Eastern Conference, the Cleveland Cavaliers have been so dominant, first-place team in the East. And in the West, the Oklahoma City Thunder. And I'm here to tell you, Miami, that was a nice little run to win 2 games as the first 10 seed to advance past the play-in tournament. I don't see them winning a game, maybe 1, against the Cavaliers. And in the West, for the Memphis Grizzlies, congratulations. You now have a pick heading to Washington for the Washington Wizards, and you'll most likely be swept by the Oklahoma City Thunder. It just doesn't make sense for the league to allow 20 of its 30 teams to advance past the regular season. In college basketball, we have the play-in. I'd argue the play-in in college basketball is awful. Not the 11 versus the 11 matchup, but the 16 versus the 16 seed. That's what it felt like last night watching Miami against Atlanta. Like, I had no interest in that at all. Both those teams, they're like the 16 seed about to get blown out by the 1 seed in the next round. I think the NBA needs to make some serious changes, maybe limiting the number of regular season games back down to 60-something, because 82, nobody's watching all 82, especially with 20 teams getting into the postseason. I would lower that number maybe to 6 for each conference, make it even tougher to get into the postseason. And then I even saw somebody on Twitter talking about this, and it just makes so much sense. In the NFL, I've been saying for years, the last 2 teams should play each other for that number 1 overall pick. That'd be fair. But you can't do that because the NFL is too aggressive. There's all these injuries. The players would not risk the injury for a meaningless game. In the NBA, I think there's way less chance of injury, and I think you should have a tournament in which the bottom 4 teams battle, and you need to win the number 1 overall pick. But for Washington, this season, they successfully tanked away the season, flushed it down the toilet, and now it's time for the lottery that will be in early May, and hopefully they can try to draft Cooper Flagg. But in an NBA season in which I think ratings were down, pretty obvious, a lot of people talked about that, defense was not played all season long, and one of the biggest storylines of the NBA this year was not a game, not a player on the court, it was the retired guys. The year was all about inside the NBA leaving TNT. And being the final season of Ernie Johnson, Chuck Barkley, Kenny the Jet Smith, and Shaquille O'Neal. And those guys, they don't even discuss the games. That's kind of the joke, and what makes that show so great, is that Charles Barkley can't tell you half the guys on the Utah Jazz lineup. He probably couldn't even tell you the starting 5 for the Oklahoma City Thunder. That's what makes that show so great. Shaquille O'Neal mispronouncing people's names. Kenny the Jet Smith getting beaten to the giant TV screen for the breakdowns at halftime. That was the biggest storyline of the NBA season. That and Ja Morant throwing grenades to the crowd. Like, think about that. That's how bad this regular season was. It was very bad for the NBA. I even thought the All-Star game was a real joke this year. But this postseason is actually set up for success, and it would just be so NBA to have an awful regular season and then get lucky with some postseason matchups and get some unbelievable ratings. And I'm here to tell you, I think that's going to happen because the first-round matchups are awesome, top to bottom in the West, except for that 1 seed. I really think the ones in both East and West will roll to victory. But the 2 seeds, I'm going to tell you today on the show, I'll be predicting the Golden State Warriors to upset the 2 seed Houston Rockets. And I really think that in the East, outside of Boston, I feel like Boston could probably cruise through the East. We could see a surprise. Maybe Milwaukee gets hot with Damian Lillard supposedly going to return. Maybe it's Indiana. Could it be the New York Knicks or the Cleveland Cavaliers that win the Eastern Conference? There are a lot of really juicy storylines in the NBA postseason that's getting me fired up now. An awful regular season, but yet you got like LeBron James and Luka Doncic against Anthony Edwards and the Minnesota Timberwolves that kind of advanced last year. And, you know, it was Dallas ending up representing the West. But for
a lot of last year's postseason, the story was, wow, Anthony Edwards and the T-Wolves have arrived. And then, like I mentioned, the Mavs make it all the way to the Western Conference Finals. They decide to trade their best player to the Lakers. Now he's going to try to lead the Lakers to the Western Conference Finals. So I do think there are some juicy storylines, and I'm such a basketball head. I love hoops so much. I was locked in for all things college hoops all throughout March and into April. And as we sit here April 19th, I am getting fired up for the NBA playoffs. And there are four games today that I'd like to discuss and break down on the show today. And I'll tell you, I do think all four of them are really good games. At 1 p.m., it's the Bucks-Pacers. 3:30, it's the Clippers against the Nuggets. Feels like nobody's talked about the 50-win Clippers this year that just happen to have a couple of former MVPs in James Harden and Kawhi Leonard. But can they stay healthy and go up against the NBA's truly best player right now in the league, which is Mr. Triple-Double? 30 points per game, 13 rebounds, 10 assists, Nikola Jokic. 6 o'clock, the Pistons, who won just 14 games last year, up to 44 wins, the biggest turnaround in NBA history, against the New York Knicks. The Knickerbockers at home, MSG, will be packed tonight, 6 p.m. You know the stars will be in attendance. Feels like Ben Stiller's more locked into the Knicks now than he's ever been. That's cool to watch him rooting for them on Twitter. But Knicks-Pistons should be a great matchup. And then, like I said, 8:30 tonight, Anthony Edwards against LeBron James from Staples Center, Crypto.com Arena, whatever you want to call it, in L.A. Lakers T-Wolves should be a fantastic matchup. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on D.C. Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, and always streaming on the go with the free Odyssey app. If you want to chime in, talk NBA playoffs, are you starting to get a little bit interested? There are four games to be played today to start the NBA postseason. To me, the play-in tournament was not the playoffs. This is the real deal, and I'm starting to get juiced up. If you want to chime in, 1-800-636-1067. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD here with you live and local in the nation's capital. This is DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM. Phone lines are open throughout the show, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. You can be the quarterback of this segment by chiming in on the phone lines or tweet us at AWOD Radio or at 106.7 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. I just get a tweet from LifeWave who says, Adam, why do y'all complain about there are too many games because you have never heard people complain about hockey season too long or even baseball? Nobody watched those two sports. Love your show. Wish you were on more up here. I do think that the NBA regular season was good length for most of my life. 82 games was right until the points per game became 150 per game, and it became zero defense, and it became a three-point shootout. I don't want them to add a four-point line. I'm not interested in that, but I just think that the regular season has been completely devalued now in the NBA to the point where you have, I believe, more than 10 teams that are tanking. Well, you have 20 teams get out of the 30 get into the postseason, which means one team didn't want to be there. Well, let's just take a look at what happened. Yep, kind of seems like the Atlanta Hawks didn't want to be there, right? They lost the last two games of the regular of the play-in tournament and were eventually eliminated. So I think that's the big issue. It's 82-game regular season with defense not being played. There's just not much intensity on a night-in, night-out basis. And then you get to a play-in tournament that features teams 7, 8, 9, and 10. Well, just skip past that and give me the damn playoffs and limit the number of teams that are in the playoffs. I think maybe make it harder and go to just six teams out of the East and six teams out of the West, or get rid of the conference standings and just do, all right, these are the best teams in, because we all know that the best teams in basketball are all in the West. In fact, I think five teams in the West would probably beat the Cleveland Cavaliers in a seven-game series. That's my take on how much better the West is than the East. But this NBA season has been very difficult for us in the nation's capital because the Washington Wizards, last place in the Southeast Division, struggled to win a game in an entire month on their home court and finished with a final record of 18-64. 18 wins, 64 losses for the Washington Wizards. But for me, I think this front office deserves credit because I think they tanked the season away the right way. I saw someone say it was like an ethical tank. It felt like it. You flushed it down the toilet. It was a waste of a season for the most part, except for the fact that you got some serious development for a lot of your young talent while also accomplishing the overall goal of completely tanking, flattening out, and trying to win the lottery. You know, a lot of these teams got some development from players like Atlanta got from Zachary Richichet, and yet they make the play-in tournament, right? Alexander Sarr got to develop, but now we're going to be back in the lottery and probably get a first or a second pick. I mean, the Wizards are protected to get 1-6, and thanks to the events of last night, they will get the Memphis Grizzlies first-round pick between 18 and 20 as well, and you do everything to try to get Cooper Flagg. But I'm starting to get excited about this young group because I thought they played well. I thought they all grew, And I do feel like there is a culture now in Washington where all these guys want to be great. And we've heard Chris Middleton and Marcus Smart, who are the veteran journeymen who were traded to Washington this year, kind of be bought into the Wizards' future and how talented this young core is that they've assembled with Michael Winger and Will Dawkins. And so I think if you're a Wizards fan, there is real optimism to be excited about that maybe this was the end of the tank. Right, and that you draft a star like a Cooper Flagg, and then you get another medium first round pick that has some potential, and you go with the guys that we have as the future, as Bob Carrington, the point guard of the future this season for the Washington Wizards. Bob Carrington, I thought, was fantastic. I look, playing 82 games is something that he should be given credit for. At 19 years old, and probably 18, most likely, when the season started. 10 points per game, you know, double digits points per game, and that was up to 18 in April, and it was hot in March as well, and it was 5 assists per game nearly, and 5 rebounds per game for a rookie point guard, who certainly showed that he could score the ball on any given night. He had several games of 20-plus points, even a 30-plus point performance this season. And like I said, should be given credit for playing 82 games in a season in which your team only won 18. That's got to be tough for a teenager. That's what he's a teenager who played one season at Pitt, but there's a lot to like, if not love, about the future of Bob Carrington, who's very tall for a point guard as well, at about 6'4", 6'5". And then you look at, all right, small shooting guard of the future is our defensive specialist, Bilal Coulibaly. His offensive game is growing, and he missed the second half of this season, 12.3 points per game. But I really thought like you saw his transition game develop this season. As much as it was tough to watch Wizards games, a lot of the times that I'd turn it on, you'd see Bilal Coulibaly streaking in transition for a fast break layup or dunk, or streaking back in transition to try to block an opposing team's shot in transition. And I really think him getting injured at the end of the season, it's not a terrible injury. It's just a hamstring injury. It helped, actually, the Wizards continue their tank, because I think if you had him, maybe you win another few games. But he is your shooting guard of the future. That's for sure. You add A.J. Johnson, and it feels like the fan base is most obsessed with him. Of all the guys that has brought in here, was the Milwaukee first-round pick of just last season that didn't play with Milwaukee and then comes to Washington. And he was averaging almost 14 points per game, got over 19 or 20 multiple times, and he is an athlete that can also really shoot the ball from the outside. I mean, 3 games in a row this season, which he shot 50% from 3, which is really impressive for this young kid here. And it's not like he shoots too many shots from long range, but he's a slasher, 6'5", 160, really positive future in my mind. Keyshawn George, at small forward, you know, you could argue Keyshawn George was the second most impressive Wizard this season, I thought, in terms of just pure shooting percentages and projecting what his future will be like at 21 years old. 6'8", is probably more like 6'9". With his hair and his length, he plays like he's 6'10", and he can pull up in transition. You know, not the greatest freshman year at 18 or 8.7 points per game, 4 rebounds, 2.5 assists, but really showed that range from the 3-point line. I thought he was a good rebounder, a decent defender as well. And then you get to the number 2 overall pick, Alex Sarr, and that's your center of the future. And Sarr this year really did develop from the beginning of the season, where I just felt like, man, he doesn't have much offensively besides dunking the basketball and shooting a wide-open 3, to a guy that, hey, even if he's not wide open, he's going to find a way to get off that shot. He certainly got off the number of attempts from the outside that you'd love to see for a guy that's his size, because at 7 foot, if you're shooting, you know, 5 threes a game, you're going to really spread the court for your guards in the future. So I really think there was a lot to like about Alex Sarr. Again, just like Bub, he is 19 years old, 13 points per game, 6.5 rebounds, 2 assists. But really, I thought it was the blocked shots that stood out for Sarr this season, over a block and a half per game throughout the entire season. And then you got a little bit of Tristan Vucevic at the end of the season. So I really think that, like, there's a young core to actually now be excited about here in Washington. The year before, it was Bilal, and Tristan Vucevic hadn't really played much. But now all of a sudden you got Bub, you got Bilal, you got Vucevic, you got Keyshawn George, you got A.J. Johnson, you have Alex Sarr, you have Keyshawn George, and you might have the number one overall pick. I just think it's been a tough season, but this is the right way to do it. And if the fan base is buying in, it's now time to give credit, I think, to Michael Winger and Will Dawkins for successfully tanking this season, but tanking the right way where you did have some development. I went to a game. It was still enjoyable. They were competitive for the most part in the NBA this season. So they did an excellent job, in my mind, tearing this thing down and rebuilding it from the scratch. And, oh, yeah, like I said, they get the Memphis Grizzlies first-round pick, because they made it into the playoffs. So the Wizards will have pick 1 through 6, and then hopefully that's a top 2 pick, and pick 18 to 20, one of those picks. So two high-level prospects will come in here to Washington. I also think that it's nice to have the coach in place for the Washington Wizards. I'm not sure he's the greatest coach of all time in Brian Keith, but I think the players do respond to him. I think they listen to him. He's been an assistant for a long time, and really his job here is to just develop one of these guys into being a legit superstar. And in the process, you might develop two or three guys to being borderline all-stars, because I really, really do like the future of Bub Carrington. I really do like the future of Bilal Coulibaly. And I think Alex Sarr is our guy that could be that superstar when you see him on the court there. He just glides around. The game is still very raw, but 7 foot, I mean, that's not going anywhere. He's going to keep growing possibly because he's still just 19 years old. He's going to fill out his body, get some weight in him, and I think he'll still keep his vertical. He'll keep that leap. It's not going anywhere either. So I think it was a good tanking season for the Wizards, and I did want to give a shout-out to the front office because I think this was the right way to do it, and I am excited for the future. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. We got Metal Chris running the ones and twos today. Give us a call. He'll put you on hold and you can chime in. You could be the quarterback of this segment. 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. I'll be back on the airwaves at this time next Saturday, and we'll be talking about the Washington Commanders' first and second round selections and what they will do in the later rounds next Saturday. But today is officially the start date for the 2025 NBA playoffs. Not the postseason, not the play-in tournament. We're talking playoffs. Playoffs, not a game. Not a game, not a practice. We're talking about the playoffs. It begins today with 4 games. I'm going to preview those 4 right now on the Fast Break with AWOD, all things NBA. 1 p.m. on ESPN, the Milwaukee Bucks against the Indiana Pacers. Bucks fans were delighted to see Damian Lillard cleared from the deep vein thrombosis, the same thing that knocked Giannis out of this season. He was returning to practice, shooting free throws. He will be held out of today's game at 1 p.m. In Indianapolis, Gainbridge Fieldhouse for the Pacers hosting the Milwaukee Bucks. The Pacers have been sneaky good this season when healthy. I mean, last year They won the – they made it to the finals in the NBA in-season tournament and kind of did it. That was kind of like their arriving moment, I thought. This is a young Pacers team that has some real talent. If you want to talk about young athletes, I love Benedict Mathurin. He's one of my favorites for them. 16 points per game, went to Arizona, was a first-round draft pick just 2 years ago. But ever since they added Pascal Siakam from the Raptors, it felt like that was their go-to guy in the clutch moments. Tyrese Halliburton can hit the shots. Miles Turner is their fella down low. But Siakam can kind of set up for himself or for his teammates. And then you really think this is a Pacers team that goes deeper than most teams. Obi Toppin, TJ McConnell, Nemhard, Nesmith. They've just got a deep roster, and that's what helps them a lot of times in games is they go 8, 9, 10 deep. And they're able to stay fresh when they go back to their starters. So game one, Indiana, they're going to be really juiced up. There's going to be a lot of energy in the building. Pacers win game one. Lock that in for sure. Clippers, Nuggets, 3:30 on ESPN. And really, this is why I'm talking about this. I know we're a week away from the NFL draft. People want to talk NFL. But I really think today's games are going to be fantastic. I really do. Clippers against the Nuggets. I mean, we're talking about star power on the court here. From James Harden and of course, Kawhi Leonard to Nikola Jokic, Michael Porter Jr., and the rest of that Denver Nuggets team here. And they've been perfect under the interim coach, David Edelman. Like, everybody that was locked into the NBA was kind of shocked and surprised that they fire Michael Malone, and then they dismiss the general manager, Calvin Booth. But since then, the team has been playing much better. They're 3-0. They have seemed to responded to the owner, the boss of the Nuggets, Kroenke, firing the head coach and the general manager with three games remaining. And this is still a championship roster. And the biggest issue I think that they're dealing with is they just don't have the depth. They don't have the bench pieces that they used to have. I think most people would agree. Now, Christian Braun is supposed to do what KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope did for a while. Russell Westbrook's not as good as some of the pieces they had. He's inconsistent. But in terms of the starting five, that's still, in my mind, maybe the best four or five in basketball with Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon, and Nikola Jokic. And sometimes they go with like a Peyton Watson, or it's Christian Braun, or it's Jalen Pickett. But that's a formidable starting five that could absolutely get to the Western Conference Finals in my mind. I mean, Nikola Jokic is a unicorn. He's the only guy that's in basketball right now that's averaging a triple-double every single game he steps out onto the court. And yet, this is a Clippers team that's also gone under the radar. The Clippers might be the NBA's hottest team right now. They went 8-0 in the final eight games, 18-3 in the final 21 games. Their only losses to the Thunder and the Cleveland Cavaliers. This is a great team that the Clippers have put together, and I think that the Clippers should be given more credit for the job that Tyronn Lue has done as the head coach. I've kind of wanted to clown on the Clippers for a while, but they're legit. They are a team that can burn you because they play really good team basketball. They defend. Ivan Zubac has been really good in the paint for them. He's averaging a double-double, also blocking more than a shot per game. And I think the reason the Clippers have been so good this season has been the development of Norman Powell, which is kind of weird to say for a kid that's 31 years old. But I feel like the way he's played this year is so much better than his entire career. He has been a solid player for a lot of his career. I don't think he's ever been this good. 22 points per game, which is his second. And it is actually it's his career high. He got to this number his first season with the Clippers, but he wasn't shooting this good from the field or this good from three-point land. He's also rebounding at almost a career-high level, assists at a career-high level. Norman Powell, who played most of his career for the Raptors and then a couple seasons with the Portland Trailblazers, has turned into like a six-man of the year type character for a Clippers team that could seriously make some noise in this year's postseason. I really think it comes down to Kawhi Leonard. But really, I would not bet on him staying healthy, but we know how good he can be when he is fully healthy out there for a full postseason run. So that's your 3 o'clock game. And then 6 o'clock, back to the Eastern Conference, Pistons-Knicks. I mean, the Pistons, a lot of people might not know the roster, but Cade Cunningham leads the way for them. But I just think what they did to turn it around is really impressive, winning just like 14 or 15 games. I mean, they were just awful last year. They completely turned it around, the biggest turnaround in NBA history. Now, they're going up against the Knicks team here that feels like they should get to the conference finals. But Cade Cunningham has turned into a star. Jaden Ivey, when he's been healthy, has been very good for them. Malik Beasley, they brought in Tobias Harris from Philly, and he's just continued to score. That's all he does in the NBA. And the Knicks might be my favorite team in the East because I just love this Villanova vibe of the New York Knicks. It's like college best friends getting to play together on the big stage here in terms of Jalen Brunson, Mikal Bridges, and Josh Hart. They brought back the defensive specialist from last year, OG Anunoby. Julius Randle was hurt when they made their run. So they said, Julius Randle, we don't need you. We'll trade you for Big Cat, Big Purr, Carl Anthony Towns, who I did not expect him to be this good for the Knicks this season. 25 points per game, 12 rebounds, 3 assists. It feels like he's enjoyed playing his first season outside of the Minnesota area over to New York. And, the 7-footer has just lived around the 3-point line, has continued to make that shot. And I think the Knicks have the roster that could actually get to a conference finals this year. The problem is they're going to have to get past the Boston Celtics to do that. And then 8:30 tonight on ABC, I mean, grab your popcorn. I'm so fired up for all things Luka Doncic, LeBron James, and the LA Lakers. I think I told you guys last week, I have been a LeBron hater and not a Lakers fan my entire life. Right? I've rooted against the Lakers when it was Kobe and Shaq. I've rooted against the Lake Show. But now that it's J.J. Redick, the podcaster that I watched play high school basketball in the state of Virginia, then went to Duke and lit it up and had a great NBA career his first year as head coach. I just think it's a really cool storyline that I can get behind. LeBron playing with his son makes me like LeBron a little bit more. And I've been a Luka fan since he got into the league, and I just love the chip on his shoulder now of the Mavericks throwing shade. Oh, yeah, he'll never be able to get back to the finals. That's why we traded him. He's fat. He's out of shape. He, drinks too much beer, smokes too much hookah. Luka's on a mission this season. But so are the T-Wolves and Anthony Edwards, and that's the team that made the trade with the Knicks to bring in Julius Randle. They've got the really good core that they had last year as well that made a run and kind of stepped onto the scene in the Western Conference. So that 8:30 game tonight on ABC is going to be fantastic. Anthony Edwards versus LeBron, maybe its first one to 35 points wins, unless Luka has something to say about that. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan. Simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM. And always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. We've got the NFL draft next Thursday night, and my take has been Commanders fans might not be worth watching Thursday night because I believe the Commanders will not make a selection, that Adam Peters will work the phones and eventually trade back, get multiple picks in either the second or the third round, as this team only has 5 selections currently right now out of the 7 rounds of the draft, and outside of picks 29 and 61, you don't get back onto the clock until pick 128 in the 4th round. So I do think they want to do what they did last year, which is acquire 3 picks in the top 100. Everybody always talks about how you try to get the top 100 talent in the NFL draft. We'll get into the Commanders and the National Football League a little bit later, but we've been talking about the NBA playoffs beginning today. I did want to take this time right now to reveal my official bracket. Now, Metal Chris, this is not like the NCAA tournament where people around the country fill out brackets and, you know, my sister's going to pick Florida because she likes the Gators or the color. This is just a smaller bracket that only includes the NBA playoffs, and I did submit it on ESPN to see if I could win the big money. But here is what I'm going with. Like I said, I don't think it's worth watching these one seeds in their first-round matchups. The play-in tournament, a waste of time. Congratulations to the Memphis Grizzlies. You're going to get swept by the Thunder. Congratulations to the Heat. Maybe Heat culture wins one game and then lose to the Cavaliers in five. So I'll take the Thunder to advance in their first-round series. I mean, they've just been spectacular from start to finish this season. They're going to make it out of the first round for sure. Second round matchup for them, they're awaiting the winner of the Nuggets against the LA Clippers. And I do think that there is something to be said about the Nuggets making that change right before the postseason and the team kind of fighting for the assistant coach and fighting for each other and fighting against the ownership and the decision to move on from Michael Malone and Calvin Booth. And you kind of really, you dive into that further, and you hear from multiple insiders that maybe Michael Malone and Nikola Jokic never got along, and so Nikola's going to listen to anybody that's in that head coaching job that's not Michael Malone now, and I think there's some momentum that they probably steal game one and then end up winning that series. I'm going to say Nuggets win in six over the LA Clippers. So Thunder Nuggets would be your second round matchup conference semis in the Western Conference. Lakers Timberwolves game one tonight, and I just think that's going to be probably the best or second best series of the first round. I have it going six or seven games. I do think that with Luka Doncic, the Lakers now have the star power in terms of the three scorers they need. Austin Reeves, you got to respect him. He's scored for a couple years now at a consistent level in the NBA. LeBron James and Luka Doncic to get past the T-Wolves in six. Rockets, Warriors, you know, every bone in my body tells me to pick the Rockets. Every single one. It says the Golden State Warriors are old and washed up. That's what it tells me. Jimmy Buckets, he just scored 38 points for them to barely win a play-in game. And you look at this Rockets team here. It's Fred VanVleet and a bunch of young sillies. Jalen Green, Amen Thompson, Alperen Sengun. They've got Dylan Brooks to be a defensive specialist. They've got guys off the bench as well that can be contributors. And so I am worried that Houston's youth will lead them to victory. But I am going with the last dance here. That's what I'm calling this Steph Curry ride with the Golden State Warriors. I don't think it'll be his last year with the Warriors, but maybe his last chance to actually win a title with this group that includes Draymond Green, that used to include Andrew Wiggins, traded for Jimmy Butler, that used to include Klay Thompson, traded before this season. This is the last ride, it feels like, with this core group that is now just Steph Curry and Draymond Green. But Steph can light it up, and he can single-handedly lead his team to a victory in a playoff game, in a regular season game. He can lead them to the NBA Finals. That's how good he is. And so I am going to stick with Steph Curry. Even though deep down I know don't pick the Warriors, I'm going Warriors in six to make it out of the first round. Over to the Eastern Conference, I told you I've got the Pacers winning game one, but I think Damian Lillard makes his return, and although I was burned by Giannis not being healthy last year in the postseason, I think the Bucks at least make it out of the first round this year. Give me Bucks to win that series in six to advance. I will take the Knicks in five. I don't think that young Pistons team has what it takes to win a postseason series. Magic will be fun to watch with Paolo Banchero, but Celtics probably win that series in four or five games to advance out of the first round. And I don't think anybody has what it takes to beat the Boston Celtics. I mean, their starting lineup is so good. Their bench has contributors as well. It's almost unfair how good the Celtics are. It really is. I mean, from top to bottom, it's star power. I think Derek White is underrated as a defensive piece, but also lights it up from three-point range and now has improved his average to 16 points per game. Then you've got Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. And I know Jaylen Brown's dealing with this knee injury, and they're you know shooting painkillers into his knee. It does feel like it might be a non-story here, a non-factor, because they have so much talent. Like, Jrue Holiday still playing well for the Boston Celtics. Oh, yeah, they won it all last year with maybe one game from Kristaps Porzingis. Well, he only played 42 games this regular season, but he's going to be fully healthy heading into the postseason. And I mentioned this before, I think Jason Tatum's on a mission this season after watching Steph Curry, LeBron James, and Kevin Durant lead Team USA to the gold medal in France last summer. After his Boston Celtics won the NBA Finals, Jason Tatum couldn't see the court because LeBron James, Steph Curry, and Kevin Durant, all guys in the Western Conference, were playing major minutes. I think he's on a mission to win a title and to prove that he should be the new face of the NBA. For some reason, Tatum's not viewed that way. I think he's super talented. I mean, he's 6'9", 210. He can shoot the ball out of the gym. He defends well. He's a team-first player. Why is there not and more of an appreciation for Jason Tatum? I think he's on a mission this postseason. So I'll take the Celtics over the Knicks in the second round. I'll take the Cavs over the Bucks. Cavs, Celtics, Eastern Conference Finals, West, Nuggets, Thunder, Conference Finals. I think the Thunder win that in six. Lakers, Warriors. I mean, this is what the NBA wants in terms of ratings. Luka against Steph Curry. LeBron James against Jimmy Butler. Lakers win that series in six. Lakers, Thunder, Conference Finals. I'm going Lake Show. Celtics, Cavs. I'm going Celtics. And this is what the NBA wants. A season in which the ratings were in the dump. In the garbage. Nobody's talking about the NBA outside of inside the NBA, but everybody will be talking about the NBA in June when it's LeBron James and the Lakers against the Boston Celtics, when it's the memories of Larry Bird and Magic Johnson, because it's the two most iconic franchises of the league going against each other for the 2025 NBA Finals. That is what the league wants, and I think that's what the league is going to get. My prediction, Celtics win it in five. Celtics are back-to-back NBA champions. And this time around, it's not Jaylen Brown, it's Jason Tatum that wins NBA Finals MVP. I'm Adam Epstein. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. That's 1-800-636-1067. We are live and local till 12 noon. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. I'll be right back.